Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
I have to be honest with you. I have seen this man twice. I have seen him in Las Vegas. I have seen him at the Birchmere, along with my old radio partner Don Geronimo and Rob Spiewak. Remember, we got the suits and ties on, and we went out to see Wayne at the Birchmere. Do you remember that, Rob?
We were the best-dressed crew in the crowd. I know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled beyond words to... Well, I have plenty of words. I am thrilled to welcome the Midnight Idol, Mr. Las Vegas, a legend, a true legend. There are not many of those around anymore. I will tell you, Wayne Newton is on the Mike O'Mara Show. Wayne Newton!
Hey, welcome, guys.
Yay, Wayne Newton. Oh, this is so... We've been trying... Rob, how long have you tried to get Wayne Newton to come on the Mike O'Mara Show?
Over 3 years now. I was so delighted to get the email last night that you had some time for us today. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Well, I got to say, I've been looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the concert. So, guys, it's a real pleasure.
You can get all the information on Wayne at WayneNewton.com. That's the official site of Mr. Las Vegas. Before we start with anything, I want to get it right out of the way. Wayne, before we get started, can you say anything about Monkey Gate? You don't live at Casa de Shenandoah anymore, but oh my God, one of the monkeys bit a little girl. What's happened since you left? The monkeys have gone insane.
The truth of the matter is I really don't know anything about it. I've never served or anything like that. And so I know less than you guys know because I don't really read the internet a whole lot.
Right.
But well, you know, busy to do that, so I really don't know anything about it yet.
Don't worry about it, Wayne. I read a lot about it, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big a deal. But they're still associating you with Casa de Shenandoah. It's Mr. Las Vegas, still Mr. Las Vegas after all these years. What is the key, Wayne, to doing what you do and continuing to do it? Such an amazing run. What keeps you going? What keeps you chugging along? You're still at the top of your game.
I got to tell you that when I was 4 years old, my parents took me to see a Grand Ole Opry road show in Roanoke, Virginia. And it was Hank Williams, Hawkshaw Hawkins, and Kitty Wells. And we were so far back in the arena that I really couldn't see the performers. So I found myself looking around at the audience around me. And I saw the happiness that those people brought them. And I looked at my mom and I said, that's what I want to do. And that's what it's been for me, is to try and bring some happiness into people's life that might be a little stressed out about everything that's going on. So that's what's kept me going, and it's the look on the audience's face.
You know, when I think of you, Wayne Newton, and I don't know how many years ago, Vegas Vacation was a big hit, a big film hit, but you seem to write the book on not taking yourself too seriously, of understanding that, you know, the man, the image, the Mr. Las Vegas thing. How important was that, not taking yourself too seriously in your career? Because I think it opened a lot of doors for you, didn't it?
No question about it. And there were people that helped me out along the way, like Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra and Bobby Darin and Jack Benny.
Those names. Wow. I love hearing those names.
Because I learned from them, not in a lesson situation, but just observing them. And all of them had a great dignity about them. And the reality of having some notoriety, the thing that goes with that, most importantly, is how you handle yourself in public. So I think I learned it from the masters, and it's always just simply been a part of my DNA.
I'm an impressionist. I feel like I should send you royalty checks. I've been doing it. You know, I'm a low level one. I'm not one of the biggies. So I mean, you know, I'm lucky to have this podcast, to be honest with you, Wayne. But I've impersonated you for years. Did any one impressionist or impression of you get under your skin? And is there anyone you enjoyed more than the others? I mean, you've been impersonated forever. Is there anything that stood out with that? I mean, you have to take it as fun, I guess, right?
Well, you have to, and you have to also realize that some of the people, present company excluded,
thank you.
Some of the people do not handle themselves well in public. And we had a Wayne Newton impersonator in Vegas some years ago that was just rude to everybody. And it would, you know, it would come back to me that Wayne Newton was at a barber shop in at the Riviera, and he was rude to everybody.
Oh, God.
So I had to send the guy a note, and I did, because it wasn't only my persona that he was messing with, but the importance of his own career. You know,
I'm hearing you say this, and I asked you a question based on me doing an impression of Wayne, and then I realized you're so big, and we're so thrilled to have you on the show. There are Wayne Newton impersonators.
Yes, exactly.
Like Elvis impersonator.
Like
that's
career
what he
stuff,
was
yeah.
talking about. Rob, I know you're thrilled. You've been trying to get Wayne on the show for a long time. It's Rob Spiewak, Wayne.
Wayne,
hey,
it is such a pleasure to chat with you. You brought up some amazing names there. I can't imagine sharing a stage with Jackie Gleason or Lucille Ball, but when you say Bobby Darin, I must ask, I've heard that the song Donkershane, which, by the way, now it's 56th anniversary of being a song that everyone knows. Congratulations on
Thank
one of the
you.
Greatest hits of all time. Is it true Bobby Darin brought Donkershane to you?
He did. What he did is he saw my first television show, national television show, which was Jackie Gleason.
The Jackie Gleason Show!
He saw that, and he checked around to see where I was working, and we were at the lounge at the Copacabana just so we could stay in New York and do more Gleason shows. And so he came to my opening, which was the next night after the first Gleason show, and he sat in the audience. And I walked out, and I looked back because it was a small room, and I saw Bobby Darin sitting there. Well, I went into temporary paralysis, and I don't remember what I sang or said or anything like that. But when I finished the first set, I went to walk off stage, and there was a waiter standing there. And he said, Mr. Darin wants to meet you.
Cool.
And so I went back, and Bobby stood up, and he said, I'm Bobby Darin. And I said, I know. He said, well, I saw you on the Jackie Gleason show last night. And he said, I came here to ask you a question. And I said, yes, sir, go ahead. And he said, are you recording? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, well, you are now. You and I will be in the studio next week, and I will be producing your records from this point forward.
Wow.
And that's
so
how it happened?
Next week, I'm in a studio. The song he handed me was Donkershane. So while I was learning it with the pianist of the session, Bobby was working with the rest of the band to make sure that the arrangement was exactly the way he wanted it. And I found out about a year after Donkershane had been released and became a monster of a hit that the song was truly written for Bobby Darin to record and follow his hit of Mack the Knife with it.
Oh, my God. And it was your signature song.
And when you sing songs, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yep.
Donkershane, darling, Donkershane. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony. Was the place we'd meet, second seat, gold Dutch treat, you were sweet.
Wayne, you're so nice to join us, and we want to make sure that we get our plugs in. Your show, The Ongoing Engagement, Up Close and Personal, is that that's a different kind of show than your normal show that you do in the bigger theaters?
Well, actually, our normal show is a small part of the Up Close and Personal show.
Okay.
But because we use just one or two clips from the past, as they say.
Right.
I think the biggest difference is that when we're doing Up Close and Personal, we use a lot of tracks and three musicians.
It's Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We've only got you for 5 minutes more. I want to get these in. Let me see. I got so many questions. I've had Wayne Newton. I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Mike, he
here.
Told you to present right. yourself well. Relax.
Briefly, the biggest single change in Vegas that you've seen over the years, if there's a sentence you could give us on that, what's the biggest change in your the old days?
I think that it would be the lack of personal attention that some of the casinos give to the customer. When it became corporate owned as opposed to individually owned or that kind of thing, then of course the corporations have a totally different idea of what Las Vegas is all about. And so the biggest difference I have seen is that, you know, everything must show a profit and everything must do this and everything must do that. And so they've moved away from what made Las Vegas great, in my opinion.
Yeah. The Stars. Do you look back on your career, reflect on anything that you would do differently? Any regrets at all? Something, if I hadn't done that, you know, you've had a great career professionally. Right. It's been wonderful. Anything you look back on with any regret whatsoever?
No, it was interesting because I think in retrospect, as I reflect on it, the things that I thought were going to ruin my life and career that happened in my life so far turned out to be blessings when I look back on them now. Like when I got in a big fight with the head of Harris Club in Lake Tahoe and asked him if some of the acts that came in his main showroom, some of them don't have opening acts, so could I be their opening act and just pay me the same thing you're paying me to work the lounge? And he became furious, and he said, you will never work our main room, and called me a lot of names. And he pounded the table, got up, and walked off. And so that's when I decided never to play another lounge. And so I called my manager, and I said, Tom, you're going to have to find us work somewhere, but it won't be in a lounge because I won't do it anymore.
Worked out for you, though, I think.
Yeah, ultimately. Well, within 3 weeks is when I met Jack Benny, and he asked me to be his opening act. And the irony of that was that the opening show that we were doing together was at Harrah's in Tahoe.
Show business.
Wayne wins.
From Hollywood, the Jack Benny Program, with Jack's guests, Wayne Newton and Louie Nye.
You know, Mr. Benny, working with you was an experience that I'll never forget. Whenever I wasn't on stage myself, I'd always stand on the wings and I'd watch you. The way you move your hands and the way you walk.
A lot of people have worked with me and stole my mannerism, you see, but you didn't.
With my voice, I wouldn't dare.
Last question, Wayne. You've been interviewed thousands of times. Has there ever been anything written about you in an article or review where you said, yep, that's me, that's what I'm going for? Or is there something, you know, I mean, when someone gets in at this stage of the career, I like to know, what do you want to be known for? What do you really want to be known for?
I think for me, what I want to be known for is that I never let my personal attitudes about religion or politics get into my show, because I feel like the people do not deserve that.
That's wonderful. And, you know, we've been backstage with you at the Birchmere. I'm going to say this about Wayne Newton. Two things. I've seen the show. You walk out of a Wayne Newton show, no matter what your preconceptions are, saying, that is an amazingly tight, wonderful show that you'll see.
Such a great show.
Who you are, you're going to feel that way. The other thing is our personal experience, and nothing changed with this interview. You are an extremely nice guy. And really, we appreciated meeting you. It's great having you on the show. Good luck with everything out there in Las Vegas. Stay away from those monkeys, Wayne.
Yes.
All right, stay away from those.
Hey, now, you got to do me one quick favor.
Yes.
Just promise me that you'll invite me back again with no time limits.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on. Wayne, seriously, we could do the 90-minute podcast just with you, and I will take you up on that, my friend. Thank you very much, Wayne Newton. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Wayne.
Appreciate it.
Have
That's
a great
Wayne
day.
Newton. Tickets and info at WayneNewton.com. And I didn't get to ask him about Johnny Carson. I know you're going to tell me about that,
next
but that's
time,
okay.
Next time we'll get it. And also, we ran
that's
out of time.
That's a great question you asked, Rob, because you have your nerdnet questions that fascinate me, too. I had no idea that whole thing. He loved talking about it. He doesn't get that from anybody.
That's awesome. I got
great
a little
job.
Bit of chill going on right now. That was pretty cool to talk to him. And the one thing we wanted to ask him is, since he really only works Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Caesars, we could have him open for us at the 10th anniversary. So,
hey, you know what? Hold on.
I'll be
Hold
in
on.
Touch. Don't think I
be
won't.
Be in touch. Just I'm talking 30 seconds. You
That's
know?
All.
Just to come out, ladies and gentlemen, I would. No, he's not going to do it. We can't pay him. That's the way it goes.
TMOS Classic. College football is upon us, and that's great. But if you're really invested in a game,
It's awesome. That's where my bookie comes in. When I have some action going on, trust me, that's the best way to watch a game. And when you use my bookie, you're not just betting on football, you're investing in your team for the season. Last year, my bookie had some of the best odds on the market for the Wolverines to win the championship. Michigan bettors who backed their squad saw a 10-time return on their wager. Ka-ching! These types of bets highlight why it's worth it to lay an investment before the season begins. Check out mybookie.ag and use our code Mike O'Mara for a great deal. A bonus of up to $1,000 on that first deposit. That's a great way to start off the college football season. Playing with house money, baby. Don't ever miss out on the action. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime, only with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara. No spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie, light 'em up!
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
By the way, I bit my cheek because of the cinnamon gum I've been chewing. So if I sound like I'm going, dunce, it's because the inside of my mouth is swollen because of the...
That's the bad thing is once you bite it, you keep biting it because it swells up.
So I got that. I was talking to my mom
on, when was it? I guess it was Friday.
Yeah.
About a really bad biting of the lip. She had done one and I had done one. And I said, the worst one ever was after a dental appointment. And I was still all Novocained up, but I was starving.
Oh, you could hurt yourself. You can.
I was starving.
That's really unusual for you.
What, to be starving?
Yeah.
No, Norm, Mike, you know I'm a grazer.
It's a joke. We don't need last wording.
I'm a grazer.
You were hungry. Because you were hungry.
So I went to Jersey Mike's, which was not a great choice because it was...
Not with Novocaine.
And I was seated at my desk in my home, and it was the kind of bite on the side of your mouth where you feel it in your teeth, but not the side of your mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where immediate gushing blood.
Yes, there was blood. I got it Mike's way.
I had blood today on the golf course.
So...
It was gross.
But the bad thing is once you do it, you've set yourself up for another week at least of doing it because it's swollen.
When I'm out playing, I chew gum like a madman because I'm cool like that.
Yeah.
And I chew my Mentos cinnamon gum. There's a plug that they get on both sides of my mouth. It hurts right now.
You're ambigumstress.
It's right. It's on this side. That's where it is. And I chew it on both sides of my mouth. So that leaves you a better chance of injury on either side.
Now,
because you're going, and it relaxes. I mean, you see a lot of people that are participating in sporting events that do that. And it's just my thing. And it also, in a way, when I'm not swilling water, it's, keeps your mouth moist. And
so true.
And your breath minty, cinnamony fresh.
Keep
and I'm
gum
happy
in my
with
car
that.
In case I get a dry mouth. But golf is a game of superstition and practice. Do you have a rhythm as to which side you chew on?
No, I just have a rhythm that I bit it like through my cheek.
And do you feel when you do it, you feel like a simpleton?
It was horrible. And
maybe you should switch to lollipops like Kojak.
Yeah, you could do that. It really wouldn't affect the game, I don't think. But I'm over there as the two other guys. I only played with two guys today because it's summertime. And a lot of people have the presence of mind not to be out there on a day like this.
Right.
And so who's sending me a text? You're getting a choke. Donate anything and we'll double it to renew your Biden supporter membership.
See, that's good news.
All they ever do. Anybody who is politically active can back me up on that.
that's all they do is have their hands out. So where was I
before you were on the golf course chewing gum on both sides of your mouth.
And I really, really, you can tell because it just hurts like hell.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing a little like that, not for any other reason than I just want to see. I want to see.
No
and
dabbing?
In any movie, you know, we're movie kids, right?
Yeah.
We grew up with movies where, you know, listen to what I'm talking today, movies where, you know, isn't it always in early cinema and modern cinema, the sign of someone, you know, is dying when they bring the napkin up to their cheek and they look at it and there's blood, right? And that's the sign in a movie script that, oh my God, he's dying.
One of the greatest is in they did a mini series about Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. And when he hit a bad note on stage and he went and wiped his mouth and got blood. And it was like, oh no, his career's over.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, it's always the end of the world, you know,
yes.
Where you'll see a guy go,
oh. Go to commercial. So you're spitting and not dabbing?
No. And it heals quick.
It does.
It's in your mouth, I guess. I don't know. So
it would have been better if you had looked to your partners on the course and you had blood trickling out of the side of your mouth.
I could have done that. I could have done that. What if I just went and then I suck the wound and then the blood comes down the corner of my mouth and I look at them and I go, guys, I have some sort of problem with my stomach. That would have been fun.
What you should have done on the green is looked at him and said, I think it's a gimme, isn't it?
Now, I'm with a couple of pretty smart dudes today, so I don't think that would have gone over very well. But anyway, getting back to the weekend,
yeah,
I purchased a while back a household tool. I have, and I don't. I suppose you've got some of these in other parts of the country.
Right,
they're all over the place in warm weather climates like Florida. And somebody's going to say they're here too. But I'm talking about lanais with pavers. Not a concrete lanai, not a wooden deck, but a lanai that is constructed, a lanai is another word for patio.
Sure.
A patio that is constructed of pieces of concrete, stone, in some cases real stone if you're Richie Rich,
mm-hmm.
That they put in squares and they put on in your backyard. And it can be large, it can be small. Some of them are little small pavers. Some of them are... like, 10 by 10 pavers.
Yeah.
And there they are. There are the pavers. Mine are a little larger than mm-hmm. that. But, Mac, you came to play today. Thank you very much. And so after I had the pavers put in, this is when I first moved into the house a few years ago, they looked good and they lasted a while. But the problem with pavers is they put them over a subcoating of, like, sand.
Right.
And if you've got... any seeds or anything that blow into the pavers, they are going to germinate and you're going to get weeds. And
yes.
You're not going to get them for every paver situation. I probably wouldn't have got them if I had a more expensive paver situation and put some sort of protective cover.
A lot of times they'll do a layer of plastic under it.
Didn't do it.
Don't need to a lot of the times.
Wasn't told I had to.
Nah.
But on one particular area of the patio, these little weeds come up, and they've been coming up forever, and it is a pain in the ass. Now, we have done the following.
Okay.
The very first thing was I did the Jack Kent Cook method. He, the former owner of the Washington Redskins, who used vinegar for a lot of things because it was cheap. Well, I heard—
the vinegar and newspaper, Mike, to wash windows.
To wash windows. Vinegar can be used for a lot of, wonderful things. Douche. And other things you could use.
Mike, so, multifold. Yeah, the choices are multifold.
The solutions with vinegar are multifold.
For one, the douche.
If you will.
And I will.
The douche. Clean as a whistle. With no appreciable odor.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So getting back to the vinegar, I read online that water and vinegar will kill the weeds.
Was this
at
vinegar.com?
I don't know. I don't know if the vinegar lobby is like the bacon lobby. By the way, the most successful
of course.
Consumer product lobby is the bacon. Oh, everything's better with bacon. It's so ingrained in our small minds here. Oh, it's because it's bacon. And well, bacon is fine. It's not that great.
What if you put bacon on a donut?
Oh, wow. My mother-in-law's beau said to me the other day, I made bacon pancakes. I saw it online. He had a great look on his face. And he's like, oh, really? Yeah, made them this morning. Big twinkle in his eye. Getting back to it.
Yes.
Vinegar and water. It killed the wheat. It dried them up.
Yeah.
But then, I pulled them because it dries them up, but they don't go anywhere.
Right.
This was followed by, and then they came back. And so I said, well, enough of that. I will purchase the chemical products that are sold in home goods stores.
Roundup.
Like a Roundup type of thing.
Yeah.
Or a Weed Be Gone or one of those that comes in the half gallon or the gallon jug, and then it's got a little spray attachment.
Sure.
And you go out and you zit like that, and that once again appears to kill the weeds. Now, where the claim is made that is BS, another of the theme of today's show, which will be that's how they get you.
Yeah.
The product does its job where it appears the weeds are dead, but then once I pull them out, they surface rather quickly.
Yeah.
Flash forward to I bring the weed killer out again. This time I kill them, but I'm going to power wash them. I'm going to go in the little nooks and crannies, take my electric power washer. By the way, my name is Mike O'Mara. I'm a Suburban.
It's good to have you, Mike. Welcome to our side.
Thank you.
Is your theory behind the power washer that it's going to destroy the root system?
My theory behind the power washer is that it will really blast out the weeds and who knows.
And it's a little more fun?
Well, it's easier than getting down and hand weeding, even though it's not that big an area to do that. So
right.
the power washer blows them out of the water. This is when people were coming over because I didn't want to mess around. I wanted them all gone. I wanted them dead, dumb. I wanted them out.
Yeah.
So I blew them out, and then another week or two, and they pop up again.
Yes.
So I go online, which a lot of people do now. And by the way, the internet has resulted probably in a tremendous amount of commerce for different products.
Yeah.
And I see something that immediately gets my attention. That trouble with weeds, and I type in, killing weeds between pavers.
Okay.
And the first thing I see is trouble with weeds and pavers, burn them out.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I see, what's the product? Because I will show it to you in a moment.
Okay. Burn them out. I don't know that I would trust this as a final solution because... fire is a, oh no, what has he got? He's got some sort of massive tool.
It's called the Quain something. But anyhow, I see that this is as follows. It is a torch flamethrower that attaches to the same size propane tank that would feed your gas grill, a large propane tank.
Oh, okay. And it runs on propane?
It runs on propane.
Wow.
And it was not expensive as much as you might think. And I acquired it online.
Well, the money is in the tank. That's where the money is. This is just
an
attachment. Yeah.
It's an attachment.
Right.
And I buy it.
Yes.
And I've used it multiple times.
Oh my God.
Here it is.
It is a flamethrower.
It is a flamethrower.
It's like the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And we were on Guadalcanal. The Japanese would refuse to surrender.
Now, how far of a flame does it shoot? Yes, it does.
Got a trigger. Look, got a trigger.
What's the knob on top? Is the knob on top the oxygen propane mix?
The knob on top is the that opens up the propane coming through.
Oh, okay. So that's the overall valve.
It goes through to this, and then that can be adjusted.
Right.
It's got a plus and minus size on it.
All
and
right.
Everything kind of goes opposite on a on this stuff.
Well, you want to get used to that. You don't want to turn it the wrong way on your flamethrower.
Yeah, and then you squeeze it and it goes.
How do you light it?
You light it because right here, the red button.
Oh, it's got a striker.
Hold on. it's got a it's got an automatic striker. Now, some of them you got to light it on the end here.
Well, that's
and that
for,
could burn you.
That's for rubes.
So,
how far of a flame does it shoot?
It's called the Quanie, Q U A N I E. If you there it is. There it is in action, Mac.
Wow,
Mac on his game, Mac. If you have days like this every day, you'll make me very happy. Thank you.
Does
That's
it,
wonderful.
How that, far of exactly a flame it like. Does it shoot? Does it like?
It's not like a flamethrower because it doesn't project
right.
liquid. Like, that's what a flamethrower
sure,
is, basically
yeah.
sending out gasoline
sure.
from a distance. This is more shooting out a gas flame.
So, like, maybe but, 10 inches?
Yeah, I think if you pull, if I open this baby up all the way and then squeeze the trigger like this.
And then hit the striker?
I might be botching the trigger. Hold on. And I squeeze the trigger.
Right.
Then it might, shoot at about 6 inches. Probably.
All right. But now, was it effective in attacking the weed remains?
Here's what happened the
All
first
right.
time. I was warned by a friend of mine. Well, if you do that, you got to be careful with the papers.
I was thinking, I was going to ask
discolor
you.
The,
burn
well,
them.
See, yeah. And you know what? I don't need that kind of help, to be perfectly honest with you. I have an idea in the back of my mind that it might, cause some charcoal dust or something on the
you know
the place
in
I'm
a way
burning.
I bet it looks nice, like when you burn the end of a document, when it looks like the
looks like ye old paper,
yeah, like the
suddenly
like
I look like I'm in Williamsburg,
exactly.
Colonial Williamsburg.
I don't think it would be a bad look to have a little bit of char,
so but I didn't there was a little yellowing on a couple of spots where I really hit it hard,
yes,
but what happened was about midway through the job I hit this one particular paver. And it smoke starts shooting out on the other side of my pool cage screen, like shooting out, like I'm
how far away from the fire source?
15, 20 inches.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
Underneath.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything, but I'm like, oh, you better back off the old plus minus attachment and kind
right.
of go easy. So I bring it down to a low roar and I'm burning the weeds really carefully. So
okay.
it works. But I didn't pay much attention to it, and I moved on. And was it? Did I attack the job in a mindful, deliberate way? No.
Well, it
and
was
you
also
might
your
why
first
I'm not
time.
Handy. Well, but Rob, you know me. I'm not handy. I'm not patient.
No.
I don't like to wait. I
no.
like to get to it and get it over with.
You
like
the
also,
idea of fire, though. You
I
like
yes.
that. That you liked.
It's
and when
fun.
You talk about being impatient, you get your quali, what is it called? Quani?
Quani.
You get your quani hooked.
Quani, how I love you. How I love you, my dear old.
I could see your eyes light up when you got that thing ignited. You were ready to go.
Well, as soon as I realized that it was functional, I had a little trouble with the dial, just getting it to shoot out enough propane where it would ignite. And then when it did, I'm like, okay, I've got this. And then you can really, accelerate it by squeezing the handle.
Right.
My Quani hand. Hold on.
So it's like a valve and a spigot. You got to turn on the knob for the valve.
Elaborate piece. It's
yeah.
a very, very
Made
nice
in America?
Little item. I don't know.
Guarantee you
I don't
it
know.
Is.
Let's see what it says here.
For people that are just listening, it is like a maybe a 20-inch extension to the end of a hose, and the end looks like a soup can. And the soup can is where the fire comes out. And there is an igniter, a la
Welcome
a grill.
To the house of wet.
Well, we're not broadcasting in 3D, but...
Okay.
But you
so
could
anyway,
probably attack the weeds without so much as leaning over.
No, you don't have to. You just burn them out.
Right.
And I see the igniter in here. Oh, man.
It's
hey.
Mike, I know it's not, but just... To be sure, it's not hooked up to gas right now, is it?
Not that I know of.
That's good, because you have it facing your face. Oh.
Have the lamb stopped crying, Clary? So I love it, though. It's
yeah.
so cool.
Where was Michael when you were doing this?
In his room, probably.
He doesn't
Mommy
care?
Mommy wasn't around. Michael wasn't around. Now, I do this on my own. I don't want a kid around when I'm doing
I
it.
I understand.
And as Carla might have pointed out to me, you don't want to do it near furniture.
Did she actually
really
say
don't.
That?
Well, she saw it after she saw round two, which was this weekend.
Oh.
Round two, I go out and I made a little run to the store to pick something up, God knows what. And then I came back and I said, okay, this is my time to do that. nothing to do on Sunday morning. Go ahead and do some family chores. And I go out, and it was Saturday morning.
Ah.
Saturday morning?
It does tend to all blend together, doesn't it?
Or was it Saturday afternoon? Might have been Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
But I don't know. I was wearing an Estero Mustangs t-shirt for my son's football game.
And nothing else?
And no pants. No, I was wearing some nice shorts.
Thank you. You're welcome,
at least
ladies.
they were nice.
Oh.
So I get to the spot that had the problem with the smoke before.
Yes.
And this time I really tortured because it's where the big weeds are. So there's obviously some separation going on between, and there's something going on there. But I'm not removing the pavers because it's not what I do. I'm not trained. I'm not skilled at that.
Right.
You know? And so
you're not skilled like you are with a flamethrower.
Two things happened. Carla observed me, and she said, "Do you put any thought into what you do?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "That was extremely dangerous." I said, "What?" And she saw me when I hit the torch handle, this thing, when I accelerated it with that little trigger. It really went, and it started to blow flame out the other side, like as far as all the way outside of the lanai.
So
and then
it
I
went
noticed,
under the paver and the fire went around and out the other side of the paver?
It not only went around and out the other side, it came up on the side of the screen and it, it burned a hole in the screen.
Well, these things happen if you're fighting weeds.
But I was fine with that. And then it was off to the Home Depot again for other household projects.
You know what delights me about that portion of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Carla didn't get involved.
Right.
But she waited until after to tell you what you were doing had been dangerous.
Well, I didn't even know how dangerous what I had done had been. I waited till, I think, nighttime to tell her that I had burned a hole in the pool screen. It was a little hole, but I had burned a hole in it.
This is when all the frogs and vipers are coming into your home.
When all the Burmese pythons, nest on. So I didn't tell her that until they. But what I didn't realize until I got to the Home Depot and I was dealing with a return on an item, a return of the Ryobi air cannon. This is another project that I'll talk about.
Air cannon?
It's all honeydews this weekend.
Okay.
Right? The air cannon comes into play with football and everything else. And I know people, I'm not going to talk about football. No, I'm going to talk about heat and how you compensate with heat with a battery-operated fan.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyway, I'm at the Home Depot returning this fan that wasn't powerful enough for what they sold. Mm-hmm. That's how they get you.
Sure.
And I put my hand on my side, and I'm wearing my Estero Mustangs t-shirt, and I feel skin.
Oh,
I feel skin. And I look down, and there is a burned, because it's synthetic material, there is a melted hole, not only in my shirt, like about midway up my waist, but it's also under my belt line where I have melted the synthetic material of my shorts.
You hadn't felt it before then?
I did not feel burning. I did not know. Apparently.
Did you smell it?
Nope. No, I didn't. I didn't smell anything. I was too busy. I was tackling weeds.
I understand.
That's what I was trying
to
do.
You're a man focused.
And this thing is so powerful, it had burned down into my shirt and burned into, and the clothes were ruined.
Yeah, sounds like they're ruined. It's not like you can repair that.
So this thing is.
Did Carla see you burn your shirt?
I don't believe so. No,
okay.
She would have said something if
she
saw that.
Yeah, I think
that.
So. She would enjoy that.
So the Kwani weed killer is not only a wonderful household product. I'm endorsing it right here for no charge. But the Kwani is extremely dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, and don't overkill on the little plus minus switch. You want to keep it within reason as to how you do that. But it is a longer period. These weeds, if you want to, you know that commercial now on the football games where you see the weeds attacking the house? That's not far from true. I mean, they just take over. We are, we talk about the insects ruling the world after we're gone. No, it's going to be the weeds that cover up and take everything. It's going to be just like The Last of Us.
Well,
that's what it's going to be
I
like.
I think actually the insects will use the weeds as soldiers.
Or as food products. And so it was horrible. And And now I got a hole in the screen, and I have a shirt, especially like a specialty shirt that I wore to games that I can't wear now because I melted it when I put the blowtorch on.
Good luck getting that rescreened. I've been trying to find someone to rescreen some screens for a long time.
It's small enough where I'm going to wait, and I got a guy. You got to have a guy down here.
I need to have a guy. I need a guy to rescreen.
What I don't do is when I have a guy, I don't always remember, and I don't always write down the number of the guy, but the guy was good, and he was fast, and he was cheap.
People like, that can rescreen, they're great at it. That's what they
wonderful.
Do. They've come
and
in.
It was, yeah, and it shouldn't be that big a deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something I could have avoided if I did. But it's this one problem area. The one area where the most weeds are is the same area where the smoke and the heat blows out on the other side. So I think eventually I'm going to have to look underneath there. And when I lift it up, it's going to be a scene from The Last of Us where there'll be like mushrooms growing with eyeballs and corpses.
I would suggest this. Mm-hmm. If it is because there is some sort of space under that errant paver, lift it, pour salt there. Salt will not only settle that space, it'll prevent anything from growing.
I don't know about that.
What do you know of the phrase salt the earth?
I don't know about that.
I don't know anything about that.
I just don't know whether that'll work. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to work or not. I'm not sure.
Salt and vinegar, Mike, is what you need.
Yeah, I mean, it might, but they're tightly knitted in there, so
it's going to be tough.
It's not a walk in the park to lift these things up.
You
but
need
anyway,
a rope.
I'll keep you posted on
well,
that.
Well, I would hope that at least you can make some great creme brulee.
Yeah, you could probably, well, it'd be challenging. You'd really have to put it on. The lowest setting on that thing is probably higher than a little torch you would make a brulee.
Because I have a proper...
You have a blowtorch to make creme brulee. Of course you do.
But I bought it also. I used it to start my Uni pizza oven.
Okay.
And so, you know, you buy the little thing. What are the canisters? Like maybe a quart?
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So that's what I use. But I was thinking you could really brulee some stuff with that thing.
Yeah. I mean, but it would have to be like, it would have to be a creme brulee a mile wide.
I'm listening.
Anywho, the reason I was back and forth with the people at Home Depot is twofold, not multifold, twofold. The first part, brand new one. If you want to know a population is exploding, look for Home Depot's new Home Depot's to spring up. We have one at the end of our little parkway out here. It is just opened. It is opened, and I am an American, and when something new opens up, I am just like you, even though I'm not a fan of the company. I am curious. I'm curious.
Given a choice, Home Depot or Lowe's?
Lowe's.
I agree. But Home 100%. Depot seems to be, they've got their finger on the population more.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always closer, it seems, to a Home Depot.
Well, the fine line of Ryobi products is something I have enjoyed for quite some time. And when you're down here in 95 degree weather, you would think about the idea of shade. And you think about the idea of moving air.
Sure.
When you go to football games, you're usually out in the middle of a football field, and you need two things. At least what the majority of the folk down there that are going to go sit at 12 noon on a 95-degree day.
You couldn't choose a worse time.
But we do it. That's what we do. They keep the kids hydrated. The kids handle it, and they keep them cool. They have constant water breaks. It's done. It's what we do. That's it. It's not abuse or anything. The kids enjoy the game. But everybody's got tents, and a lot of people have electric fans. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm at a home game.
What do you mean tents? They have not like
they have canopy tents that they set up that shield you from the sun. Because if you're out there the whole time,
yes,
it's going to be problematic. It's just going to be problematic. And you say, well, what about the kids? Well, the kids are playing, and they've got helmets.
Yeah. Do you sneer at those that have tents?
No, I own a tent.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm on my second tent.
Okay. Very good.
A canopy tent that I got at the Mart.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought the Mart, went out there, $50 or so, got a tent. It adds up. Don't get me wrong. But 2 weeks ago, I'm at a home game, and I look over, and I've got a little Ryobi fan that's about this big.
Okay.
And it's tiny. But I see next to me a dude that has what is named the Ryobi Air Cannon.
Sounds violent.
It is an 18-volt cordless fan that is the Ryobi Air Cannon. And the Ryobi Air Cannon is a large fan, large enough to be, wow, I bet that's really great.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, as I said, I'm a suburban, Rob. That's what I'm looking at.
And you were looking at what the Joneses had.
I'm looking, saying, after Saturday's game, there it is. You see, this is a shot of the Ryobi air cannon cooling a guy's ass.
That's big.
There we go. It's very big.
Yeah.
And it's battery operated.
Yeah.
And you'll see it's got the three fans on there, Rob.
Yes.
That is the 18-volt Ryobi air cannon.
So you know the product.
Sold on Amazon and at fine Home Depot.
What can you tell me about this guy's ass?
This guy's ass is probably dripping wet because he's working in a non-air-conditioned warehouse with you know, swamp ass to beat the band. That's what
he's
doing.
Is he a happy guy, though?
No, he's probably not when you have to bend over. Or he might just be standing in front of the Ryobi as he's working his planer. And, you know, the air is going up between his butt cheeks and giving him nice, cool temperatures. So I get the thing. They have it in stock. I roll out there.
How
and
much
I'm like,
for the air cannon?
I have a guess.
Cheap.
I have
it
a
wasn't
guess.
Cheap. It was wasn't like, cheap.
Okay, wow. So maybe my guess is low.
It was not cheap.
Okay.
But I have an 18-volt charger for other tools,
right,
for a drill and for other mini fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I just buy the unit, and I get at home, and I'm excited, and I said, Carla, I got the fan. And I put it together. I shove the battery into the back of it, and I turn it on, and I'm like, I feel the air come out.
Yeah.
I go, oh, my God, this is the lowest setting. This is going to be awesome. And I turn it to Carla, and as I turn it, I see it's not the lowest setting of three. It's the highest setting of three.
Uh-oh.
Now I am immediately disappointed.
Sure, disgruntled, too.
I'm disgruntled. I am not pleased. I am not happy. And it's at this moment that I said, I had read online a review from some mook who is comparing the 40-volt Ryobi air cannon to the 18-volt.
I didn't realize there was different statuses.
Now you know.
Yes.
The Ryobi 40-volt not only is a tad smaller, but apparently generates far more air, because in this man's workshop, he stood way at the end of the workshop and he looked at the camera and said, I feel the air all the way over here. I'm such a goddamn rube. I'm the rube of rube.
So you've gotten to the point where you're watching videos of people
with an air cannon.
With an air cannon.
Because if you're going to buy
something. Was he an older gentleman?
Nope. About 40s. About mid-40s.
I feel the air.
And then he said, oh, this is much better. And he explained that the reason that the air is moved so much better would be the fact that the fan is a 5-blade fan. It is a 5-blade.
As opposed to a 3-blade on this guy, right?
And it is more powerful.
Yes. Well, it's got 22 more volts.
But I also think, you know, I'm not going to buy something just because it's big. I need something to move that air. And, Rob, we were sweltering on Saturday.
I bet you were.
Sweltering.
I think it's almost a compromise. If you get in your tent.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the shade, but you're also compromising the moving air. So
gotta
what you need is a combination.
So I immediately pack up the 18-volt.
Yeah.
Because I go back and I look at the video again, and it convinces me that, you know, for about the same money, in fact, almost the exact same money.
Would you like the retail prices? I have them here.
Yeah, go ahead. What's the retail price on an 18-volt? Hold on,
okay,
Mac. Because this comes into play later.
Yes.
Please, when you're giving these prices, only the price of the tool, please. And the tool in this particular case is the fan. But I'm putting it like they would at the Home Depot or the Ryobi Corporation.
Yes, it says here.
Only the price of the tool.
Before you go, Mac, here's Mac to tell you the prices.
So, the 18-volt Ryobi air cannon retails at $160.
Wow.
Very good.
Wow.
What is the retail price of the 40-volt air cannon?
The 40-volt air cannon retails at $170, $10 more.
$10 difference. I'm off to the Home Depot.
Of course you are.
Because online they say they've got 88 of these effers in stock.
I'm not sure I buy into the name Air Cannon.
So
it's a fan.
We will get I get back to the Home Depot. I said, I've got to exchange this, but I'm looking to get the 40 volt version.
Yeah.
She said, well, let me just keep that up here, finish your transaction, getting the other one, and bring it back. I said, yeah, I'll probably have to get a 40 volt battery with that too. And that it comes into play. So I go back and I see the guy. I said, I see all these 18 volt air cannons, but I don't see the 40 volt. And then the guy proceeds to go,
Does he have the droopy apron?
He's got the droopy apron. He's got his phone because that's how we work.
Yes,
now, well,
of course.
The 88 that I see, I've read incorrectly. They're not at this retail location. They have them in stock and they ship them. So I realize immediately my immediate satisfaction will not be, sated with this. But I'm like, okay.
Mac,
so
do you remember earlier in the program when we mentioned how Mike isn't patient?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, that means that this is not a satisfactory transaction.
It is not.
I'm not happy, but I do return the 18. Mac, are you able to get the price of the 40-volt battery?
The 40-volt battery. Let me look that up. Give me a moment.
Mac will now be getting us the retail price of the 40, which I am more than aware I will be purchasing.
And it comes with the charger,
right? The same price. So I'm doubling my money price. Right. For doing this.
I have it here.
All right, here's Mac ahead. To tell you the cost of the 40-volt battery.
The battery. The 40-volt battery. Lithium ion 5.0 battery is $150.
I told you. Double the price.
Oh.
No, I mean, I knew it.
I know,
I
but
knew
still,
I was playing
it
for
should
two
be
fans.
Included. It should be included.
Well, it's not, Rob, and I knew that. And that's the important thing.
This is like when we were talking about the Chevrolet Volt.
The Ryobi 40-volt air cannon arrives at my home today with the expensive battery. I open it up because I, at this particular time, have made the assumption that the battery will come with its own charger. And that's where they got. Because it doesn't come with the charger.
You're kidding me.
I have just ordered now. And now is where it kicks it over the top. Because I have not been prepared for this expense.
Right.
And the charger is $2,000.
No, the charger's
$33 bucks.
But still,
I'm pissed.
You should
and
be.
I know they're the helpers out there that are shaking their heads ruefully, and they are telling me, oh, you didn't need to. But Mac, online, I got it for $33 bucks. And I know they're more expensive at the Home Ripoff, right?
Yes, $100 bucks at the Home Ripoff.
Yeah, ridiculous. Got one brand name on Amazon for less than that. That'll be arriving tomorrow by Friday. So I have to wait. In time for the game. That's it. But that's how they get you.
Yeah. That's how they get you. I've always said that everybody's out to get you. That's how they get you. And I'm sorry that this has been a 7-day debacle for you.
No, it was a 2-day debacle. I mean, it was
Be resolved until you get your thing.
This
so
is
remains
true, but
debacle.
I am looking forward. The air cannon is on my kitchen table as we speak right now with a 40-volt battery next to it. And no way to have to charge it! Because I didn't read the small print. Just like I didn't read the not available in the store, available 88 units. I thought that was at the location because that's the website I was on.
Yeah.
And that's how they get you. And but very nice exchange lady at the Home Depot. Same lady that sold me the other one. Very, very nice.
Does Ryobi make a mister?
They do, but I'm not bringing a 5-gallon water bucket to the football game. And I don't want to be like dripping wet with like mist moist. I don't want to do that. I'd rather move the air and spray myself with a spray bottle.
You could do that. Absolutely. You can get that at Walmart.
But I'm looking forward to Super Comfort at the game on Friday, and we'll let you know.
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.